you guys doing?
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, good to be here in Narromine and to be with you guys. Thanks Nathan and Mel, Nolan and Nicole for inviting me and some other leaders that I've met, like there's so many of you all. Thanks for all you guys coming out, and I'm really looking forward to speaking to you for the next just short little while, and really believe that I've got a message for you tonight that could actually change your life. Maybe your life doesn't need changing, but yet we're always in a place where there's always more. You know, when we open our Bibles, when we're looking into God, when we're pushing deeper, there's always more. There's always further we can go into God. There's always more we can learn. Can I get the keyboard guy? Can you come back up? Is that all right? Awesome. What's your name? Kyle. Kyle's got a few fans. That's awesome. That's why I got him up here. Sweet. Hey, so as Nolan said, my name's Simon and I'm actually from New Zealand and the Promised Land, and moved over to Australia. I used to run a youth ministry back in New Zealand and moved over to Australia about 2.5 years ago to this place called Nowra. Anyone been to Nowra? Yeah, heaps of people. You know what I'm talking about. We think we're pretty tough down there. Got like a postcode gang, 2541, represent. And there's like a real gang there called the Nowra Boys, right? And they think they're all that. And we've kind of like taken what they say and taken the songs that they sing, and we pulled it into the church and we use it for God's kingdom instead. And we've created something, No One Walks Alone, Nowra 2541. And yeah, it's pretty cool. So I love living there. I've got a wife, Tammy, 4 kids. Can you believe it? And I've got Indy Rose. I know Nathan and Mel have an Indy. We've got an Indy Rose who's 16 months old. I've got a son called Blaze who's 5 years old. Just a word, when you have children, whatever you name your children, they will take on the character of that name. And my son Blaze is on fire. He's a legend. And then I've got this girl, Sierra, who's 7. Absolutely awesome. And Trinity, who's 9. So it keeps us pretty busy. And then I've got these other kids at church, just crazy. Nowra City Youth, and it's good to be there. So it's awesome to be here tonight. And I drove here today in the car thinking about what to share, and I had a few messages that I was going to speak, and I actually had a little dream last night. Don't want to get all weird, but Kyle, can you play? He's just standing there looking awesome, eh? But there it is. He's got more than just good looks. He's got the skills to pay the bills on the keys. And if that's too loud, guys, just turn it down or whatever, but I just want Kyle to play and just set a little bit of an atmosphere, because, you know, whenever we come together at times like this, anything can happen. And I love coming into a room like this because it's just completely full of expectancy, because the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there he is. And I wanted to say something about that, though, right? That's a really cool scripture, and it's true. Where two or more are gathered as agreeing his name, we come together, something can intensify and we can experience more of God when we share God and talk about God. But God actually is everywhere all of the time. And we know this, and we say that God is omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omnipowerful, he owns the universe, so he is everywhere all of the time. David said, if I make my bed in hell, there he is. So sometimes we say things like, you know, God's going to show up. And I get what we mean, but God's already there. It's us that shows up. And when we come, and when we show up, we come to a place where we come together in agreement, God's able to do something else in our life. And when we share and talk, there's a scripture in the Bible that said they talked with Jesus and they didn't know it was him, and it said later, did our hearts not burn within us? And there's a time, you know, when we share, we talk, but our hearts begin to burn within us when we talk about the things of God. And I know in this room right now there's Christians, there's non-Christians, there's people that are searching, there's people that don't know, there's questions. So I've got to try to throw something right down the middle for everybody tonight. But God is everywhere all of the time. He's in your life, he's not just here. And what I want to show you is, I want that thought to be, as I read out some scriptures, go through some things, let that thought be in your head that God is everywhere all of the time. And maybe tonight you could just stumble upon him if you don't yet already know him. So we're going to have some verses come up on the screen. The first one, Proverbs 7:24. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. All who were slain by her were strong men. This scripture is talking about, actually, it's talking about lust and relationships. But the key piece in this scripture that I want us to focus on, it says, many who were slain by her were strong men. And you know, sometimes as Christians, for those that are believers, we think we're so strong sometimes, but we can kind of go anywhere and do anything. But it says here that many strong men have fallen. David fell. You look through the Bible, there's all these strong men that fell in areas of their life. Now, I'm a huge believer, right, that we should not be stuck in a church. I think we should live in the world. Jesus actually said, he prayed to God. He said, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, that you actually keep them in the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. You see, we're called to live in the world, but not be defiled by the world, but not to take on the world's systems. That word world that Jesus used is cosmos. It means social order. Everything, every part, every fabric of our social society that we live in. He said, get into that, penetrate it, own it. It's yours. You should take it, but don't be defiled by it. And you see, people get that mixed up. I think we should go out into places and do things, but sometimes people go with the wrong motivation. They want to go to the pub and get everyone saved, but yet they're there having a couple of drinks at the same time. Many strong men have fallen. But you put yourself in a place sometimes where you think that's where you're going to save people, the wrong motivation, we can quickly end up losing our own destiny, our own future, and things like that. So there's a balance to this. The next scripture is the main part of the story I want to read tonight. And I just want to share a fair chunk of scripture, if that's cool. Just stay with me, and then we're going to talk about a few other things. Jesus, it says, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. I just want to make a point that Jesus was going to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus was a Jewish person. Jewish people did not go through Samaria. Okay? He made a point and said he needed to go there. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Next slide. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to this place to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. See, Jesus knows everything. We try to hide things from God, but he knows what's going on. He says to her, go and call your husband and tell him to come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have said, well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. Next one. Last bit. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when we will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. Sorry, one more. And that's all the scripture. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, did you hear that? That was awesome. And at this point, where am I at? His disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman left her water pot. Make a note there, she left her water pot. Went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And so the title of the message tonight is Living Water. Turn to your neighbor and say, Living Water. Alright. Back when I was young, okay, I think you guys have been advertising me as an ex-pro skater. And, that's the truth, and when I grew up in New Zealand, I was I was involved in the skateboarding world in New Zealand. It was a huge part of my life. At the age of 12, I could, I'm not saying this to go check it out, whatever, but when I was like 12, I could drop in on big vert ramps and things like that, and I could win most contests where we sort of grew up in the under 16 category on a vert ramp. So for me at the age of 12, you know, life's pretty awesome, going well. I've got friends, I've got clothes, I've got sponsors and stuff like that. Like, I didn't actually understand, you know, what it was like to not have friends and things like that at that time. And so for me, as a 12-year-old, I'm living the dream, you know what I mean? And I sort of grew up in this world, and I ended up later in life going down a path of drugs and alcohol, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more in a minute, and really just gave my life over to some crazy things. I went down this journey, and for a few years of my life, I forgot pretty much what a skateboard was. Who here's got a dream? Everyone's got dreams. No one's too cool for dreams. We've all got dreams. I'm going to talk about dreams. It's not having, you know, too much pizza at night, going to sleep, and having a dream that you went to school naked or something like that. Not that sort of dream. I'm talking about the sort of dream that will not let you go to sleep. Where you lay in bed awake at night and you see yourself, you see a picture for yourself, you see this version of yourself that, man, if I could just be that person who had no fear, the things that I could do, if I wasn't insecure about this and that, imagine the things that I could do. Well, I've got news for you. That person that you see for yourself is that's the real you. That's the best version of you. That's the version that God created of you, which was not contaminated with the world and the media and all the things that come on young people today. That's the real you. If you don't hold on to your dream, you can lose your dream. If you lose sight of where you're going in life, you can lose it. People can take it from you. Your own insecurity can rob it from you. You can make bad choices because you don't like the person you see in the mirror. For me, I grew up and I got to a moment where partying and all these things came along and I went down these paths. And I lost sight of my dream. Now, I regained my dream later on in life. But there's always so much more when you stick with God, and when you stay on course with God, it's the best way to be. Anyway, when I was young, a little bit off track of that, I was actually into cross-country running as well. And these days, I get just puffed running to the letterbox. But back then, I was all right at it, and I could run long distances and things like that. And I do these races. I actually came over to Australia to the Trans-Tasman Games back when I was real young, and it was in Sydney, and you guys beat us, but that's only because we're not used to running in the desert in like ridiculous temperatures and stuff like that. Any excuse, I'll use it when it comes to Australia and New Zealand. You guys did the Underarm Bowl. You guys can't even remember that, young people, but some older people around, you know what happened there, and it's not cool. That's right, All Blacks dominate. That's all we're going to say on that. That's all we're going to say on that. We're just going to move on. Anyway, as a cross-country runner, and what would happen is if you run these races, right? Anyone who's into that knows that you give out so much. You run so hard. You give up everything that you are, and you just, man, I'm really competitive, right? So I want to win, especially if it's in Australia. But we lost, but that's all cool. But like, you run and run and run, and what would happen to me at the end of these races is I would get so exhausted, I'd be so empty, that I would get to the point where I'd actually dry reach. Like that. That was awesome. I would even go so far as to say that God arranged that for tonight. And listen up, and you come to the end of this race, right, and I'd dry reach and I'd be exhausted. I've given out all of my energy. I haven't drunken enough water. Completely exhausted. What do? You go over, you get some water, and you drink as much as you can. And you think, man, now I'm full. I've just filled myself back up. And then you sit down, and a few minutes later, guess what? You're thirsty again. Because that water's never going to satisfy you. You've given out of yourself so much. You can all relate to that when you're thirsty. And, oh, it's like the best thing. Oh, now I'm cool, but now I'm not. Jesus paints this picture of this woman at this well who's coming out. And, man, she's got issues. Okay? This woman has issues. She is at a place, and he goes on to talk about her issue is one of relationships. She keeps on hooking up with the wrong people. She keeps on giving herself over to the wrong people, and she's got this problem that's like a cycle. And Jesus is like, you're right, you've had 5 husbands, and the dude that you're rolling with now, he's not even your husband. He has this way of revealing things to people. He's not condemning. There's no condemnation for those that love Jesus. There's nothing that we can do in our life that will ever stop us moving forward. But here's a moment where Jesus just reveals to this woman, gets her to look at herself, ask her a question so she'll look at herself and see, that's my problem. Now, this woman was coming out at that place at that time, normally where other women would come as well, she wouldn't be alone. But it said, she said, oh, I'd like some of that living water, then I wouldn't have to come back to this place. And what she means by that is this place, as in this place I'm at in life, because she was looked at as an outcast, because the other woman saw her as like an adulterous woman and wouldn't go and draw water with her. So she's at this place of isolation, loneliness, stumbling along, just going about her business, and she bumps into the Savior of the world at a well, who went out of his way, and he needed to go to Samaria because he knew he had an encounter with someone that day. I would say that everyone here tonight, that Jesus knows you're here. Jesus knew you were coming. God knows where you're at. He's everywhere all of the time. And perhaps you could stumble across something here in this place tonight. So her problem was relationships, right? She said to Jesus, she goes, I noticed that you don't even have a pot to draw water with. What are you talking about? She's kind of confused. You're talking about this living water, this magic, crazy stuff? Does that come some kind of drug? What is that? And she's got, you don't even have a pot to draw water with. Because you see, the pots are used to draw water. This woman used a pot of relationships to satisfy herself. But it was only for a time. Because then she went on to the next person, the next person. You see, we've all got our pots that we use to satisfy ourselves in this world. Christian, non-Christian, I'm not sure person, whatever. We all have pots and things that we use to satisfy ourselves when things aren't going so well. I would ask you the question right now, what is your pot? What is the thing that you try to replace that only God can give you in the world? What is that thing? There's a scripture coming up on the screen. This is my favorite verse in the whole of the Bible. I'm just going to read the bottom section. Jesus says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, all who are weary, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says to all of humanity, to all of the universe, all of the time, come to me and I will give you rest. You see, the world, though, is always the counterfeit of what God offers. And the world will say, come to me. Alcohol will say, come to me and I'll give you rest. Relationships will say, come to me and I'll give you rest. Facebook will say, come to me and I will give you rest. It offers all of the stuff, man. If you can just get those clothes, if you can just get your identity wrapped up in something else because corporate companies know how to do that to you, then you'll have rest. If you can just be popular and fit into this crowd, then you'll feel good about yourself and you will have rest. And the world screams all of this artificial rubbish to you. Come over here and check this out and try this, go to that party, hook up with that person because everybody's doing it, and then you'll find rest. But none of that stuff will ever give you rest. The only thing that's going to give you rest in your life, and when I talk about rest, I talk about satisfaction and a knowing of your purpose and your destiny and your future and why do I get up every day. You see, we sit here tonight just for a short time, and I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate that some people are like, I don't know about this God stuff. But there are moments in time, and time waits for no man, where we can stop and just go, hey, guess what? There's a creator. There's something more. There's something bigger than your problems at school. There's something that can change the situation you're in and give you rest. And that is Jesus. He would say to you tonight, come to me. You see, me growing up, my pots were drugs, alcohol. And I remember there was a guy at the ramp, this guy, Andrew Morrison. He was New Zealand's number one skater. He's been 13th in the world. As a young guy, I got to hang out with him and skate with him. He said to me one day, he goes, you're going to give up on your dream. And I was just like, why would I do that? Because I've seen people like you before. I've seen you just come and go and you get caught up in all the rubbish and you drift out. That's not even about Christianity, but that's just about the dream, right? But he goes, I'll give you a $10 bet. I shook his hand. There's no way. There's no way. I'm not a Christian at this point. A few years later, like I said, I fall into the trap of going for all of the things that are on offer. Popularity, drugs, parties, what everyone else is doing. Pretty soon, I'm just like away from escaping. I see Maury, hey, what happened to the dream? Yeah, I don't know what happened to the dream. For me, I managed to regain that later on in life. And in 2001 was the last time that I competed in a skate competition as like an adult. And I was number 4 in New Zealand at that time on vert skating. And for me, that was pretty cool. But I reckon I could have done much better than that. But there's more to that story I'm going to drop at the end. But my pots were drugs and alcohol, and I had, honestly, for the next When I went down that road for 6 years, I had a problem where, and I don't ever want to glorify drugs. You see, sometimes I hear people speak about their drugs and their alcohol, and it's 28 minutes of drugs and it's 2 minutes of Jesus. And, you know, we don't want to talk about that, but I just want to lay out a platform just to, so you see where I came from. It was 6 years of this, that, and every other thing. And came to a point when me and my friends would go to this place called Great Barrier Island in New Zealand. Anyone been there? It's an awesome spot. We'd go out there for like a month. Before Christmas, before everyone got there, and then everyone would turn up. And we just basically go out there and do what young people do, right? Go crazy, get as drunk as you can, do all this stuff, because we were just living for today, man. We didn't care. And one day we're at this campground, this van rolls in, and it's the Christians. Christians roll in one of those vans, you know, every church has got one. It's like, you know those vans. And there's like a sticker on the back that says, honk if you love Jesus. That van. And you can see it coming. You're like, we know who those guys are. And they're doing this beach outreach mission, and they're coming and they see us. We camped up on this hillside, which was called Lunatic Hill, because we were idiots. And it was like 30 of us just thinking we were the bomb, going nuts, coming up to New Year's. These Christians saw us and they targeted us, literally. And we thought it was pretty funny, and we called them the Christios, gave them a name. Some of my friends let down some of their tents. Don't do that. It's kind of funny at the time. These guys would come, right, and they'd come into the campground, they'd set up coffee things and table tennis tables, and we'd go hang out. It was like a little refuge, you know, you get sick of hanging out with your mates and doing the party thing, and we'd go hang out with the Christos and, you know, get a Milo and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. We quite enjoyed it. I loved it. Good guys, like really good, genuinely good guys. Then one day, my brother's down there, he's 3 years older than me, right, he's starting to look a little bit too interested in this stuff that's going on down here. He's asking questions about God and stuff. He's talking to this one girl, and we're just like, know what's going on here. Quietly, I'm thinking to myself, I think I actually feel the same way, but I'm not going to say that to no one. I think we all were that week, because God was doing something in the midst of me and my friends' lives. And here we were, and then the next day we find my brother in his tent with a Bible. We're just like, this is going too far now. So what do we do next? We did what every one of you would have done if you were in that situation. We caught a seagull, a massive albatross, and we delivered it into his tent and zipped up the door. It's a fair punishment for going off with the Christos and locking yourself in the tent with the Bible. He comes out of there pretty fast, pretty fired up, pretty angry. But man, I'll tell you, something was going on that week. Later on, he became a Christian. He's actually married to the girl. And they had 3 children. I probably should have waited for that, but that's all right. Okay, that week there was a guy called Dan, and he used to come up. And I'd be like hungover, drunk, and wake up in the morning, and this guy Dan's outside my tent, and he's getting the fire ready, and he's getting breakfast ready. And I just get up, and I'm just thinking, what is with this dude? He's like awesome. He's like the best dude I've ever met in my life, but he's like real about it. He's not mucking around here. He's actually got something in him that is different to what we all have. And I'm getting up and I'm walking down the beach with him, going for a surf, and I'm dry reaching because of the night before, and he's whistling. I'm thinking his life's way better than mine. He's got something about him. To cut a long story short, I just drop another thing in there because I don't have a lot of time tonight. But 10 years after that time, when I had actually become a Christian, because that's obviously a part of the story that you know happens, Dan actually, I ran a beach mission, and the guy Dan came on my team and served under me at another church. And that's just a thought about legacy and how what you do matters. You don't know what you're doing to someone. You don't know how you're affecting their life. I would offer Dan beers. Just, hey man, do you want a beer? Do you want a beer? Like, it's all right to have a beer, you know? He'd say no. Like, I don't really care if a Christian has a beer. If they can do that and handle it, I don't recommend it. Definitely not for young people. But like, he wouldn't do it because he just wasn't into that. And I could just see that. I'm like, you've got something that I don't have. My life sucks, man. Like, I think I've got it all together. Like, I've got friendships. I've got all this stuff going on. But yet, really it sucks because I'm not happy. And the story goes, it's a bit of a long testimony, I'm just trying to sort of make sure I get it in the right order. I didn't become a Christian straight away. I sort of wrestled with it. I had this, and I remember sensing the Holy Spirit, went to some youth groups and things like that. Remember feeling that presence like possibly you could be feeling right now, where our hearts burn within us and God is there and we recognize and understand, oh, he's been here the whole time.